Welcome into DC On Screen, your guide to the DC Universe on film and television. I'm your host, David C. Robertson. This, my co-host, Jason Goss.
Hello.
Today, we're going to get super spoilery on Arrow 509, What We Leave Behind. To recap, Susan and Oliver are getting chummy enough that Mayor Queen officially invites her to the city's Christmas party. That's good, because he's seriously going to need a drink and a shoulder to cry on later. Felicity and Curtis try to introduce their significant others at the party, but Felicity's trademark awkwardness gets Curtis into trouble. As he and Paul are leaving the party in a huff, Prometheus attacks Curtis, who defends himself a little too well, but still gets his ass beat. At the hospital, he finally tells Paul that he's a vigilante. Paul demands he quit immediately or their marriage is over, but ultimately decides he has to leave either way. Much as he loves Paul, Curtis decides that his true place is on Team Arrow. Oliver tracks down some breadcrumbs left him by Prometheus and discovers that his foe is the son of one of his Season 1 victims and that Artemis is a traitor. Prometheus says that everything Oliver touches or loves eventually dies. To prove his point, he lures Oliver to a location and baits him into killing Felicity's new boyfriend, Detective Malone. He tearfully informs the team, who swear that Prometheus is wrong about Oliver and vow to support him. Oliver seeks that Susan shoulder we talked about earlier, while someone with Lila's voice tricks Diggle into getting captured by the authorities. Finally, Oliver returns to the hideout, ready to get back to work, only to find a perfectly alive-looking Laurel standing in front of him, staring at her old Black Canary uniform. Okay, so...
good episode.
Yeah, mostly. For the most part, yes, I would agree.
There were a lot of good scenes, minimally.
Yes. I'll give it that. There were a lot of good scenes.
Now, what won't you give it? Go ahead and get started.
Curtis and his husband have no chemistry.
I kind of agree. And...
And the guy that plays his husband is just a terrible actor. I'm so sorry. It's just true. He's bad.
I'm not sure terrible's even on... Just the... I don't want to go as far as terrible. But I appreciated one thing. I've been dreading that, you know... Curtis has a secret scene since he started vigilanteing, and they took care of it in one episode.
Supposedly, yeah.
No, if he comes back and it's like, if he comes back and he's accepting of it, of like, yeah, I know you're gonna have this nightlife, great. That I don't dread those kinds of scenes. I dread the like drawing it out, trying to lie, I know you're lying kind of thing. And they took care of the like, I know you're lying, and pretty much like by it, act two or something.
Mm-hmm.
Now that I appreciate.
Yeah,
and
I did too.
You know, the guy made great points.
Absolutely.
It's not like I really blame Paul in this relationship for needing to go. Like, he says he didn't want to be the guy who drops the ultimatum. I feel him there. I've actually said that in an argument before. But I also can't live knowing that every time I see you might be the last. Like, that's a perfectly fine point, man. I mean,
that's the reality every one of us lives with every day.
Yeah, but at varying degrees of expectancy.
Yeah, it was just, you know, I was like everybody? Like,
now, how much would you have loved it, though, if he was if they had this conversation, like, it might be every day I remember the last time I see you. He's like, yeah, but everyone could do that. It's like, you text and drive all the time.
Yeah, they should have had that.
But some great lines in there again, like the stuff we just talked about. And then the one time I thought in all of their little arguments this episode that really hit was, I made a commitment, you made one to me, too.
Mm-hmm.
That was good. Like,
yes.
And again, Paul.
If it had been said by someone who could act, yes.
Oh no, I think even for that line, he got it right.
No,
I was willing to give him at least that line.
The line was good.
Yeah, I thought he did.
It was a good retort.
I'm not nearly as down on that actor as you are right now.
Yeah, I didn't like him before though. Like the one time we saw him before, I was just like, we've seen him like, let's keep him out of the show.
Two times or two or three times, I think. He just pops in here and there.
Well. Thankfully.
Yeah.
If you give him more than three lines, you start going, wait a minute. Ooh.
Right.
He's so bad.
Oh, yeah. a shot that's tangential to him, at least. Was it just me, or was the shot of the shuriken hitting Curtis's neck kind of great?
It was pretty amazing.
It seemed like almost out of place. It was so good. Like, they got out a serious camera for that thing.
Yeah, it seems like this season they've been They've been doing more flash-like. Special effects on Arrow.
Maybe so. I just know. Like, I've just been thinking the slow show motion.
Yeah,
and they've gotten the. They toyed with it last year, but they've gotten it. They've gotten it a lot better at it this year. Is like the one shot fight kind of deal, or a lot of their one shots are playing this. Like last year, I remember I was joking about like, man, that was a great try, but it didn't work.
Mm-hmm. One in particular was especially bad.
Yeah.
I think it was maybe the first one of the season or something. I don't remember. But maybe, I don't know. I'm not even going to pretend I know.
Yeah.
I laughed when Felicity said people who are dead turn out to be alive almost every Wednesday.
Yeah.
That was good.
You know, I always have like a favorite Rory moment, and this time it was just it was just the look on his face when she like hands him the gene sequencer and says like, "Okay, boys, have fun."
Flummoxed, but not completely perturbed.
that's a perfect photograph of someone in over their head.
Mm-hmm. It was fun. You know, we get more scenes of Adrian Chase just being crazy. This is like, he's just barely holding back the nutso.
I mean,
barely holding back the vigilante bullshit.
The seams are busting on that shirt, man. It's just a matter of time.
He's like, we have to get a kill order for Prometheus. They'll back us up. Yeah. Let's just do this thing, man. Come on. I'm itching for it. Come on, let's kill him.
I've got a gun in every pocket.
Hummer's like, damn, dude. Yeah, okay, it's fine. What is wrong with you?
Yeah, I know.
Why do you keep scratching under your left nipple?
Right. That's his heart bursting with a psycho.
So, I'm pretty sure Prometheus is Tommy. I don't care that they're saying that they believe that he's the son of this guy that they mentioned in the pilot.
Well, I mean, yeah.
Claiborne.
Yeah, Claiborne. And they're making a huge deal out of the Claiborne guy. But it doesn't make sense so far for the story with Prometheus for it to be Tommy.
Yeah, except Thea said, do you remember when Tommy and I, blah, 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 that she brought up Tommy
in
a story?
She did. And they, you know.
They haven't brought up Tommy in like.
Well, he was in like.
Well, like they did last,
yeah, like
week,
last week.
But before that, they haven't for like 4 years or something.
I remember he came back in a flashback in like season 3, I think. But I really don't even recall the context of it.
It was when, I think that he's come back probably every year. Something or another. Mm. I think there was one where like Ollie was in Starling City in the flashbacks, and he goes and sees Tommy talking to Thea. Maybe
I forget. It was a flashback deal. I don't even remember.
And then there was one where like Tommy was in. There was one where like there was a flashback where Tommy was in like Japan or something.
There's definitely one where he was overseas for a second, and then that's all I've got. It's been too long. And he was not a developing storyline. I have not kept him top of mind at all.
No. Happy to see Thea back in the Speedy outfit. I always hate when people become superheroes and then stop being superheroes on these shows, because I always feel like there's someone left on the table.
That's fine.
Like, come on,
that's fine with me though.
I want to see that too.
Like, I was okay with her.
The suit right there.
I was okay with her retiring the suit, because when she retired the suit, and this isn't causation, it's correlation, but it just so happened that at that time she became a real person, like with her own hopes and dreams.
Yeah, but now she can like put on the suit, and that's part of her hopes and
dreams.
She can play.
That I'm like, if they do that, I'm great. I just don't want her to go back to being somebody who like is constantly reactionary.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I liked Prometheus leaving the bodies where Ollie left it. I like the flashback being of like, you know, between pilot and second episode.
Yeah. We haven't seen flashbacks to, you know, Bratva style in a while. I'm still looking forward to getting back to that, but. It was a neat thing they were doing this time with like the season 1 flashbacks instead of the other ones. And they really are just, it was so much fun to watch that scene, because he's dropping bodies exactly where Oliver did. Even the amount of arrows that's in someone is the exact same. And, you just, especially as he's going up that escalator, you're like, dude, he really killed a lot of people. Like, this guy has a body count.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, at some point you're starting to almost sympathize with Prometheus, whatever happened. You know, Oliver was a deadly guy back in the day.
Mm-hmm. So, Prometheus says this is about so much more than revenge.
Yeah, not sure what he's on about there.
That's another thing that makes me think that it's not that guy's son. That's all a red herring. That's to conceal who Prometheus really is.
Well, the thing was, like, that was my first thought when it was somebody from his past that knew who he was. My first thought was like, yeah, somebody on the list. Because they already mentioned the list, you know. So it's got to be somebody on the list, like their son for the age purposes. This all makes sense to me. And then, you're saying, now that they've said it out loud, now I don't trust that theory anymore.
Yeah, I don't trust it. I don't think it's I don't think it's that. But I don't know. I almost don't want it to be Tommy, because I think that would be kind of dumb.
There's no motivation for Tommy to come back and do that. I mean, Tommy died, but it wasn't exactly a result of Oliver's actions. In fact, he was trying to stop it.
Yeah,
and he got a hero.
But that's the only person I can think of that they could put in that mask, and it'd be like, what? Unless, and this is the other name he gave, I think last episode, to remind us that that guy existed. Walter Steele.
Oh, God. Like, Mora's,
Yeah.
Wow, I haven't heard that name in a while.
Well, you heard it last week.
it slipped my mind even then. I didn't even focus on it.
It was in the 100th episode he mentioned him.
Wow. I mean, it's possible. Yeah. But still, again, what would he really have to focus on? His problem was more like his relationship with Mora.
Yeah, but we don't know. Something could have been in there. I don't know. I'm just saying, like, I don't know how it could be... For them to make it such a big deal of, like, who is Prometheus...
Can't be as simple as the list, right?
If it's somebody we've never even seen before, that's gonna be a bummer.
It depends on what the backstory is. Really, I mean, I'm okay with a new player, just you gotta tell me the right story.
Well, you know, I'm okay. I'm perfectly fine with a new player as long as they don't, you know, build up the mystery of who he is the entire season.
Yeah, I want to know within the next two or three episodes who this guy is.
Yeah.
Like, you've got till early February show. I'm going to start getting real antsy.
So the
by the end of that, you know, escalator scene, the replay, which a great scene. But the moment the Prometheus looking guy steps out from behind that thing, you're like, oh yeah, Malone's dead.
Mm-hmm.
Malone's a goner. And even if you know it's going to happen, the look on Oliver's face when he realizes what he's done, and that fucking tearful delivery of the news to everybody at the Arrow Cave, at just wonderful job.
And I guess we now have an answer as to whether or not you're going to keep killing.
I would think that's going to make him readjust his priorities there.
I didn't know that it was, but if I hadn't killed him.
But if I hadn't been ready to kill people this season, I wouldn't have killed Malone, you know?
Yep. Billy would have just had an arrow in the knee, or, you know, whatever you internet people need to refer to whatever that game was. I don't remember the name of now. I used to know the name of that game, but then I took an arrow to the knee.
Is it Hopscotch? Let's go with Hopscotch.
Well, first of all, Billy Malone is dead, so for the last time, Billy Malone now.
Oh, no.
Sorry.
Oh, no.
Moving on.
I'm glad that's retired, officially. You've committed to it being the last one, thank God. Just a freaking great delivery with Amel there. And something I really appreciate about how they handled this was, like, I know it's probably going to come up to bite us later, but Felicity initially just saying this is on Prometheus and we have to get to work. That's good. Now, that's going to be a rift between her and Oliver, I'm betting, in the future, where, like, she did tell him, hey, you should cut out this whole killy killy stabby stabby thing, or something's really going to happen.
Yeah.
Like, she did tell him, and he didn't listen, because, as he puts it, and we don't listen because we're stubborn. She's going to work with him, I think, and get this problem solved, but that's just always going to be something between those two. So that little moment where he was growing up earlier, and we were all proud of him, and we maybe wondered if she was going to have a different conversation with him than the one that he ended up having with her, I think that maybe just got canceled out.
Well, maybe. But, you know, last season, though, and hopefully they'll remember this so that when we do have to endure that conversation, it'll be noted that, hey, I can't be too mad at you. I killed a bunch of people in Haven Rock, and also... I was totally on board you killing Damian Dark.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, but she thought of Damian Dark as an exception, I think. Not necessarily a change in modus operandi.
She knew that he was killing people, and she was still, like, on board. She was still part of Team Arrow. She was still helping.
I know. I think that's where she's going to see the weakness in herself, was that she thought she could fix it before something really bad happened, and she couldn't. I think she's going to blame herself a little bit, because it's the show's mantra to blame oneself.
And sure, they're all terrible people.
I know. I really did like, how they wrapped it up, though, with the last scene with, like, her on the couch, just kind of mourning. And it actually did take me by surprise. It shouldn't have, but I didn't expect Diggle to be captured. I thought they were going to bring that up again at some point, but I don't know. The scene hit me well. The reason it was so well done was, like, when something happened to John's kid, I was perfectly happy to assume that Prometheus was attacking him on a personal level, and then he is. It's just different.
Yeah.
And Oliver has no idea who... Yeah. The team doesn't actually know he's even been taken as of, you know, the present. So they'll get to figure that out about the time they're figuring out who the fuck this Laurel thing is, which, I mean, literally, the note I have written down is Laurel. What in the goddamned hell? I don't know what to do with that, man.
I don't know.
It should, and by the way, Felicity did say every other Wednesday. Let us not forget when the show airs. And then here's Laurel.
Right. So, what do you think? Like, you think this might be Black Siren?
It's the only player available, isn't it?
I mean, if they do a thing where they're like, oh, well, when we had Black Siren, who was kidnapped before over in the Flash, like when they put her in the jail, you know?
Yeah.
That was the prior timeline. Post-Flashpoint, we don't know what happened.
Maybe she got
Black Siren. Maybe she got out. Maybe she was never bad.
Maybe she's just Siren. Yeah. I don't think there's a way to use Flashpoint to redeem this Laurel. I'm pretty sure she is super screwed, at least in this timeline. So I really don't know. I mean, they've used so many different methods for bringing people back from the dead between like this show and a couple others. I don't have a damn clue how she's back or what she might be.
Yeah, I mean, it really could. It could be a lot of things. Like maybe in this reality, they never shut down that Lazarus pit.
Yeah.
Oh.
Maybe the woman at the hospital did finally cure her somehow, but didn't want to tell anybody because it was a long shot and it wasn't supposed to work. So that's why
maybe
it's taken
Prometheus
several
brought
months.
Her back.
And you know,
I don't know.
Maybe she's damn Prometheus.
Wouldn't that be badass?
I could dig that. I mean, that like she survives that thing, or she survives that hospital accident somehow, turns into Prometheus.
Yeah.
And it would make sense that the first person she recruits is the Black Canary that replaced her.
Be interesting. I don't know.
Maybe it's not a coincidence that she appears on the show about the time everything's getting very real for the team.
I'd be very interested to see how they handle it.
Did you like Susan anymore this episode?
Who?
His reporter girlfriend.
Oh, no.
I didn't expect you to.
Susan Williams, I know who you're talking about, but it took me a second.
Yeah, she's not exactly high on your priorities of caring about Arrow. But did you notice when he asked for a drink, she gives him Russian vodka?
Oh, absolutely. I expected her to, like, pull out the picture almost.
I thought she might be doing that, but I wondered, like, within the context of where she is right now, because she's got that in her pocket, I mean, you know, metaphorically.
Mm-hmm.
And she does seem to be, like, actually, she does seem to actually care about him. But, you know, she's obviously played Theo before, and she could be playing a long game with Oliver, so there's no reason to, you know, root for her here. But she could be trying to get in so far that she gets, you know, the story of the century, which is, you know, very reporter kind of thing to do, right? But I just wondered if it was like an inside joke for her, just in the context of where her character is right now, to pull out Russian vodka to give him.
Yeah. You know, she starts to get him drunk. He's like, you know, the last time I had Russian vodka. I don't know.
Like, that's something I can see getting scripted easily. Yeah.
Yeah, she finds out, like, last time I had Russian vodkas was I was in Russia 3 years ago. Some pirates took me there. Oh, that's all there is to the story? Yeah, then they threw me back on the island. Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
It was a long day.
It was kind of weird.
I mean, except for that time I had to go back and threaten some people, but yeah. Other than that.
So, Stephen Amell has said that Laurel isn't only in his mind. The team will actually be vetting this Laurel to see if she, like, is actually Laurel.
Yeah.
They're
not snarting us.
Yeah. Episode 10, though, we're getting Talia.
Okay, cool.
When it comes back, we're getting Talia al Ghul, guys.
Cool.
And you can't tell me that Laurel shows up and we're getting Talia al Ghul. There's got to be a Lazarus pit or something.
A working pit out there some damn where.
I would say.
Ooh, Malcolm might figure it out finally and go fix his hand.
He's too busy being cornball gangster over on Legends.
I know. That was awkward.
Just one way to put it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Pretty good mid-season finale. Not nearly as good, I feel, as a lot of the episodes leading up to it. But I did like the flashbacks. I just can't help but feel like the Prometheus stuff is all red herring. I don't believe anything that they believe about Prometheus at this point. I don't know that
Whatever it is, though, they're driving this point home so hard. Like, in one of the flashbacks, Diggle says, I'm not saying you don't do some good. I'm saying that one day your actions may have some unintended consequence.
Mm-hmm.
They're driving this point so hard that it's got to be, you know, it's got to be masking. It's just being laid out too thoroughly.
It kind of is. I don't trust you, Arrow writers.
I'm going to get a tattoo someday that says, don't trust the Googs.
Right.
Oh, just a quick side note, though, with, you think Wild Dog has kids?
Do I think what?
Wild Dog has kids.
Oh, was that brought up here?
He has a little moment with Diggle where he's talking about how important kids are, and Diggle says like you talk about that like you know something, and then they get interrupted.
Oh, maybe I didn't even catch that. I guess
I mean,
maybe I was tired.
Given that Wild Dog is as crazy as he is, I'm happy to believe that he probably had a kid. Something happened to it, and then he's like hitting the streets.
Mm-hmm. Makes sense.
Just seems like the obvious thing for him.
It does a little bit. I wish I'd caught that. I must have gotten distracted, or I was tired, or something. I don't know. Well, thanks, Jason. Thanks for making me feel like I'm not doing my freaking job.
Well, if I just read into it, then it'll be me overreacting and not you missing something.
No, I'm sure I just missed something.
Oh, speaking of missing something, did I miss something earlier? Because I feel like I remember a picture of Lance with an X on it from a previous episode, yes. But I can't remember where it was. So correct me here. When did that happen? Because he's still got him X'd out on his wall of hate.
He's got him X'd out because he's off the table. He's in rehab, essentially.
That's what I was wondering, though, is like it's just that he's out of the way, right? Like,
mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's all it was ever intended to mean.
Okay. Just wanted to know how to read that.
He screwed with Quentin so thoroughly that like Quentin was like, all right, I got to go to rehab. Prometheus is coming after me. I should probably just be over here.
But that seems like a very light sentence for someone who's trying to like pun it. I mean, the guy says everything you touch dies. And his response with Quentin is to send him to rehab and make him like fix him. This plays into my Laurel theory. Let's get Dad into rehab and off the table so I don't have to hurt him while I kill everybody else.
Yeah, that might be a good theory, dude. That might be... Oh, man, that's dope. Let's do that.
All right, in case we're right, let's just say that's our theory, and we called it.
All right. I'll happily coattail your theory.
All right.
All right. I think that's all I've got for this episode. What you feel?
I'm good. I love the season so far. It's strong.
Yeah, I mean, it's a strong-ass season. It really is.
Mm-hmm. Can't believe it's only 10 episodes.
I don't know. Thank you for listening to DC On Screen. You can find every episode at dconscreen.com. You can find us on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, Twitter, Facebook. We are all out there, DC On Screen, one word. We're proud members of the Giant Says Team Up Network, giantsaysteamup.com. Also proud members of the Batman Podcast Network. We're going to be coming right back with a review of the mid-season finale of Legends of Tomorrow, The Chicago Way. Until then, keep some DC on your screen.